Hope everyone's having a happy Halloween. Thinking of turkey. Okay. So I have no relation to disclose, but I'd just like to thank Dr. Paul Irwin and Dr. Betsy Houghton for helping me with this presentation this morning. As you all are aware, the U.S. population is becoming more racially and ethnically diverse each year, presenting many challenges for future healthcare professionals as well as services. Many academic departments as well as organizations have stressed the importance of cultural competence training to the future healthcare professionals. However, recent research has suggested that cultural competence needs to be incorporated into all aspects of the organization to include both policies and procedures as well as the research that the organization is conducting. Okay. Prior to our knowledge, only two organizational cultural competence models have existed. The first was developed at the University of Tennessee in the Department of Nutrition in 2004 from a literature review. The second was conducted in 2009 by Krauss and an expert panel, which used the UTK model as their foundation, and it really defined the relevance and importance for organizational cultural competence. Our model further tests the Krauss models for construct validity to understand the essentiality of organizational cultural competence for the domains and criteria statements. Okay. To help us answer this question, we selected disciplines in primary, secondary, and tertiary prevention, as well as physical and mental health. We chose accredited bodies and or membership associations to define our disciplines. We selected disciplines in family medicine, nursing, counseling psychology, public health, either MPH programs or programs in health behaviors and or communication and or community health, as well as nutrition. We took a random stratified sample of these disciplines, and we selected one administrator and two tenure trainer faculty members within each discipline. Okay. The survey was developed in three sections. The first section really asked them what their status was as a tenure track faculty member. The second asked them a series of demographic questions as well as organizational and cultural competence experience questions. And the third asked them a series of criteria statements based on the Krauss model, and we asked them to rank those criteria statements with one being not at all essential to seven being essential. The survey was a web-based survey that allowed the participant to log in and out at will since it was a long survey. We also had four recruitment emails as well to increase response rate, as well as an incentive at the end of the survey once it was completed. Okay, so we ran descriptive statistics for the demographics, and we ran exploratory principal component analysis with Barry-Max rotation, and for this we were trying to determine the number of factors that explain the most variance. And we ran Cromwell Alpha, where each one had to be greater than 0.5 for the criteria statements. And we also ran reliability coefficients for the domains and the criteria statements. Once the factors were identified, we were able to determine their common themes and name each factor. We also ran MANOVA to determine if there were differences among demographic as well as work characteristics and their organizational and cultural competence experience by their factor score. We ran additional MANOVA to determine if there were differences by the categorized disciplines by factor scores. Disciplines were categorized into physical and mental health, which represented family medicine, counseling psychology, as well as nursing. And then we had community health as our second discipline, which represented nutrition and public health. These were mainly categorized since we have a comparatively lower response rate among the family medicine and counseling psychology. We also ran a Pearson's chi-square test to determine if there were differences by these categorized disciplines in their organizational cultural competence experiences. So we had overall a 19.2% response rate, where a majority of our respondents were from public health, followed by nursing and nutrition. Overall, we had most of our respondents were white and female and not of Hispanic origin. We also had the highest representative among professors, and we had a one-to-one ratio of administrators to faculty members as well, overall with a 14.7 years of experience. So these questions, the organizational cultural competence experience questions, were identified from the HRSA's indicators of cultural competence. and we ask these to further help explain our results and understand our results. But as you can see, overall, a majority of the respondents had developed a diversity plan at their university. They had also assessed their curriculum for cultural competence, and about half had evaluated their students' cultural competence within their academic unit or department. So there is a model for organizational cultural competence with initial construct validity. We had four domains. The first domain was organizational accountability, which had 32 criteria statements. This domain really addressed the academic department's or unit's capacity to support appropriate settings as well as infrastructure and resources to promote cultural competence. It additionally was responsible for monitoring and evaluating cultural competence in all parts of the organization. And finally, it was responsible for cultural competence training for professional development of personnel as well as students. Our second domain was stakeholder diversity, which included 17 criteria statements. It included policies and procedures that support a diverse academic unit that encompasses the units of the governing body, personnel, and students. Our third factor was access, which had 9 criteria statements. Access supports administrative, personnel, and students' services of ease and use. It also addressed cultural competence planning at all levels of the research. Our fourth factor was communications, which had 5 criteria statements, and it articulated the need of the unit's mission, vision, and value statements to promote cultural competence, as well as providing systematic and ongoing communication between the organization, personnel, students. And it also allowed a culturally inviting environment. Overall, our model accounted for 66% of the variance, and each of those domains, particularly the first three, had a reliability coefficient greater than 0.9 and the fourth greater than 0.8. So looking at our MANOVAs, there were no differences by work experience or by their demographics, by factor scores. However, there was a marginal significance by their organizational cultural competence experience, particularly around the curriculum assessment. So we did a follow-up ANOVA of this, and we found that curriculum assessment was statistically significant for factor score 4, which is communications. Our second MANOVA, was by the categorized disciplines and the factor scores. And again, we saw a marginal significance by our disciplines, particularly community health disciplines found access to be more essential for organizational cultural competence. And finally, by our categorized disciplines and our organizational cultural competence experience, we did find that there was a significant difference by the categorized disciplines and their experience, particularly among curriculum assessment and students' assessments for the physical and mental health disciplines. So that's the family medicine, counseling psychology, and nursing. And in particular, this wasn't a shock for us because a large majority of the research, particularly in curriculum development, is in nursing as well as psychology, and training is also very embedded into the family medicine practices. So just to reiterate, this model does further validate the Krauss model, who had their validation on content validity, and it was the next step to initial construct validity. This model is also very consistent with other academic models. In particular, the University of Pennsylvania developed a blueprint for integrating cultural competence into their curriculum. This blueprint really incorporates 8 different steps, and within those steps, they clearly identify that stakeholder diversity is very important along with their personnel as well as their students. And again, this is also very relevant to the healthcare field, which is the culturally and linguistic appropriate services, as well as the HRSA indicators for cultural competence of organizational assessment profiles. In particular, the HRSA indicators actually has a domain named communications, which also reiterates the need to incorporate cultural competence into their mission, vision, and values as well. And I'd just like to state that there is a difference between diversity as well as culturally linguistic appropriate services. In particular, diversity really just takes the surface and talks about the differences between ethnicity and race and more of the awareness of diversity. But I'd like to take it a step further and say that diversity really, since one of our domains was stakeholder diversity, that diversity really needs to be incorporated not just at the surface level, but really incorporated into our organization's policies and procedures so that where it sets up the organization to begin with, that there are diverse personnel, there's a diverse governing body, as well as a diverse students, and that each component of the organization really incorporates diversity in everything that they do. So just in conclusion, this model does confirm for organizational cultural competence of post-secondary health-related academic units. We believe that the next steps would be to test the construct validity of the model using confirmatory factor analysis, and that we really need to test the practical application of this model. And this is currently being done at the University of Tennessee by one of the students who is actually testing to see what different organizations are doing and in each of these disciplines. And finally, we really need to develop a self-assessment tool for organizational cultural competence so we can really monitor and evaluate how well we're actually achieving different competencies among our university so that we can continue to report this and show that by having cultural competence in all the within the organization is really making a difference to help close that disparity gap. And finally, I'd just like to say thank you and acknowledge a few people that are here in the audience. Dr. Marcia Spence and Tegan and Phoebe, who were on a board with me to help me create this, as well as my statistical support, Ann Reed and Carrie Springer. And again, happy Halloween.